What are your plans after the show ends?
I want an activity that involves jumping. I want a mystery activity. I want some reflection time.
Maybe you're an extraterrestrial escape from a government facility.
This is the Drex Radio Show on KGO 810.
Orange, Red Raiders, Blue Raiders, Blue Devils, Golden Hurricane, Hurricane, Cyclones, Tar Heels, Governors, Crusaders, Knights, Commodores, Friars, Gales, Venus, Shockers, Roadrunners, and Players, Seahawks, Jayhawks, Hawkeyes, Hawks, Seawolves, Ducks, Owls, What's Up, Mock, Buffaloes, Bearcats, and Two Bears, and Five Bulldogs. We're only halfway there. Fighting Irish, Boilermakers, Lumberjacks, and Mountaineers, a couple of Pirates, Musketeers, and Cavaliers, Longhorns, Bulls, Beavers, Eagles, Rams, and Aggies, Hoosiers, Sooners, Badgers, Utes, and Huskies, Jaguars, Two Panthers, Four Wildcats, Wolverines, Terrapins, Jackrabbits, Two Trojans, Spartans, Warriors, yep, that's it. Write them down, get out your brackets, it's March Madness.
And I think we hit all 68 teams in less than 45 seconds there. And by the way, so the money is laid down. And March Madness cost you $211. That's the average. According to the new survey, March Madness from PR Newswire, Wallet Hub, says that fans will spend $211 watching the tournament this month. That includes everything from beer to how much you spend on your bracket. I would think it's probably a little bit more here, especially if you throw in the beer. Some more stats, 21% have watched a game at work. Well, that goes on all the time. We have an excuse. There's monitors everywhere. We can't get away from it. 11% have taken a vacation day to watch. Yes, use your sick days. And 10% have called in sick, of course they have, or hungover, whatever the truth is. 8% of people who had someone else fill out the bracket for them. 7% just automate it and fill it out. You know, the odds last year, I mean, it's something in several trillion. It's just, now wait a second here. The odds of you filling out a perfect bracket are 1 in 9.2 quintillion. Now, I don't know what the Super Bowl is, but it's not even close to 9.2 quintillion.
Oh, absolutely not. You're probably better off hitting the Powerball.
Yes, you are better off hitting the Powerball than getting all those damn brackets right. That's just amazing.
Or getting eaten by a shark or hit by lightning. Like, all those odds. Remember, every time the Powerball is a big jackpot, the odds come out.
Well, and so, let me see here. The other fact is, some advice if you're filling out your March Madness brackets this year. Expect chaos because this year's tournament might feature the worst group of teams in college basketball history. The tournament has been going on for 77 years, and this is the first and only time that every single team has been involved in at least four losses. And there are only two that only have four losses, Kansas and Arkansas Little Rock. I see everybody going for Kansas. Now, I don't play along with this because I don't know my college hoops.
Yeah.
Brian from the KGO Newsroom is in here. Yeah. You.
Well, I do follow college hoops, but I start like right around now.
Okay.
So I guess you could say I really don't follow college hoops, but
Did you pick Kansas? Because I see everybody picking Kansas.
I mean, it's kind of hard not to pick Kansas, but right? You think with all the parity in the NCAA bracket this year that you just imagine that anything can happen this year more than any other year because the teams have lost so many games. It's kind of hard to pick who the solid winner is, you know? And anybody can beat anybody on a given day.
That's true. So let me see. Here are three more random stats to remind you what a crapshoot this really is to get a good bracket. Last year, only 1.6 of the 11.57 million brackets that people submitted on ESPN.com picked all four teams in the final four. 1.6 out of 11.5 million.
Yeah, I mean, if you think about it, you're picking from, 64 teams, plus there's play-in games.
Oh, you know what? Here's the stat I'm looking for. The odds of filling out a perfect bracket, as I mentioned, are 1 in 9.2 quintillion. You're more likely to win the Mega Millions jackpot twice in a row.
Oh, my goodness.
Twice in a row. Those are the numbers I was looking for. And Vegas casinos make about $100 million in profits during March Madness. So, really, I mean, it is madness.
Twice in a row. That's ridiculous.
Twice in a row.
Not just twice, but twice in a row.
Twice in a row, yeah. So you could win Mega Millions twice. Well, you know, good luck with that. All right, let's go through some other things. One of the stories I love today, that I got off at the Daily Mail. You want to get healthy? Well, just quit your gig. We found some great new advice on how to get in shape quickly. I'm not sure you should take it, but are you ready? Just quit your job. The new study out of Sydney University of Australia found a good way to get healthy. It is to stop working. They found that people who retired or quit got an extra 93 minutes of exercise every week, spent 67 fewer minutes sitting every day, just sitting, and 77 more minutes every night. Well, of course they did. They don't have anything else to do. People who were also, I'm not saying that about retired people. I'm just saying if you quit, of course you're going to sleep in. It's one of my favorite things about doing the night show. I get up when I want to. People were also more likely to quit smoking once they stopped working and got more time to spend on their hobbies and other stuff they actually like. Yeah. The researchers also say that when you stop working, quote, it creates a great window of opportunity to make positive lifestyle changes. You know, it's a chance to get rid of your bad routines and engineer new, healthier behaviors. One would hope so.
Well, and think about all the stress, not just the stress from work, but from the commute and being in your car, I mean, I guess the typical Bay Area commuter is probably in their car for at least an hour a day, maybe even more than that.
I would say. Of course, none of this really will work unless you've got enough money in the bank, okay? And then, you would have to avoid stressing out about not having a job. And that's a hard thing when you don't have a job. So now you know. Hopefully you kept listening until I said that and you didn't quit your job 45 seconds ago. Don't do it. All right. One of the things I wanted to play, this is, first of all, the president yesterday, my God, with all of the shenanigans going on, Trump ran away with things tonight. How did things end up on the Democratic side?
So we have Hillary has a pretty substantial lead in several states right now. But we're still waiting for the numbers from Illinois and Missouri.
Well,
Hillary leads in Illinois. It's only by two percentage points right now. But Sanders is leading in Missouri right now by percentage points. But Hillary did win North Carolina, Florida, and Ohio on the Democratic side.
Kasich won Ohio on the Republican side. And Trump took, what did he take?
North Carolina, Florida, and Illinois. And
huge.
Cruz and Trump right now are in a statistical dead heat in Missouri, according to CNN.
You know what? Before I get to the president and fun with him, do we have, let's go to our highlight reel that I didn't get to Lisa Durden. This is Samantha Bee, and Samantha Bee has her own show, Full Frontal.
Yeah.
Yes.
On TBS.
Right on. And so she got together with a pack of young college-educated Trump fans and Trump supporters to hear what they've so staunchly backed and why they back the candidate the way they do, and they are so fierce about it. And here are some of the Trump supporters.
Trump supporters. Most Americans have the same questions for them that this woman had of Tippi Hedren.
Who are you? What are you? Where did you come from? I think you're evil.
That is how Trump supporters are responding to criticism lately. Although the guy who sucker punched a protester at a Trump rally did reflect on what he should have done differently.
The next time we see him, we might have to kill him.
No,
yes,
the next time you see him, you'll be in court.
Yes, you will. And that's when all of this turned ugly in this vicious kind of racial divisiveness that we see now. And whether you support Trump or not, and you know, like I said, I'm hashtag 2016. They all suck. That's just where I'm at. But Samantha Bee did this focus group, and it's in the same bit on her show. And she asked the panelists why they support Trump.
Speaking to our lizard brains at all.
They were intelligent and thoughtful.
Trump's moderation on like various social issues is actually a great boon because that means we can concentrate on things that are actually valuable for improving the country at large.
So do you agree with him on social issues and disagree on banning all Muslims from entering the country?
Temporarily banning.
It's about security, not religion.
All right, I got to take a break and when we come back, we'll continue with the late night late show wrap up and all things. Oh my God, you know, we've got so many things that we didn't get to tonight. Let me see. We've got 50 Cent in his bankruptcy. Richard Simmons, I don't know what's going on with him, what time it is. Madonna out of control, completely off the rails. and a whole lot more. So don't go away. We'll continue in just a second on the Drex Radio Show on KGO 810.
Resch, live and local. He's talking about the things you talk about every day. It's the Drex Radio Show on KGO 810.
I feel my heart.
Radio Show. You get your Kellogg's cereal now with vitamin P.
Coming soon to your favorite grocery store, new and improved Kellogg's breakfast cereals with a brand new addition, vitamin P. Look for specially marked boxes of Rice Krispies and Cocoa Krispies.
Oh, now wait a second.
And spoon up a heapin' helpin' of breakfast fun. Nearly 18,000 times your recommended daily requirement of potassium. Also, be sure to look for new Frosted Flakes with Tony the Incontinent Tiger.
They're great.
And you don't even want to know what's in our new Raisin Bran. If you want some breakfast goodies, you're in luck because Kellogg's cereals are number one.
Oh my God. Okay, so if you ate cornflakes this morning, I apologize for what I'm about to tell you. Someone posted a video, and it's gone viral, of course, over the weekend that shows some dude peeing on the conveyor belt at the Kellogg's plant in Memphis. And you can tell it's Kellogg's. Because after he's done relieving himself, the camera pans up to the logo. Now, look, there's a lot of unanswered questions here. Of course, it's on the internet. It's not like Trump with the protester on Sunday. Well, I didn't know. I didn't know it wasn't an ISIS hoax. I mean, I heard it on the internet, so it had to be true. All right. Well, there's a lot of unanswered questions. They don't know if it was an employee went on the conveyor belt or if anything was contaminated. But in the video, it looks like some kind of grain gets dumped on after he's done his business. Kellogg's did release a statement saying, Kellogg's takes this situation very seriously and is shocked and outraged by the video. We've altered law enforcement. Well, we've alerted. And we've altered some of our rules here. And the regulators are conducting a thorough investigation. They also say the video was recorded in 2014 and may have affected Rice Krispies treats, Rice Krispies treats cereal, and puffed rice products. So if you ate Rice Krispies 2 years ago, gross, but you're okay today.
Rice Krispies.
Right.
Whole new meaning.
I love rice. But I love Rice Krispie treats.
Oh, man.
Yes.
It's so sad.
Mom makes them for me. Yeah. She's always like, well, what do you want for your birthday? What do you want for Christmas? Just send me the Rice Krispie treats. That'll be fine because she makes them by hand, and I love them
very much. Make sure you cook them really, really well, Mom.
She does. Trextra crispy. All right. By the way... That would be Emerson, Lake, and Palmer. And dear internet trolls, speaking of the internet, you helped kill Keith Emerson. That's right. We heard that he had muscle, Keith Emerson did, had muscle and nerve tissues and issues that were making it hard for him to play. Obviously, that contributed to the depression that led to his suicide. But the internet trolls got and do get some of the blame. Keith's girlfriend, Mari, said... he had concerts coming up in Japan, and even though they hired a backup keyboard player to support him, he was worried. He read all the criticism online and was a very sensitive soul. Last year, he played concert, and people were doing when he was doing the concerts, people posted mean comments such as, I wish he would stop playing. He was tormented with worry that he wouldn't be good enough. He was planning to retire after Japan. He didn't want to let down his fans. So he was a perfectionist and thought that... he wouldn't play perfectly, and that made him depressed, nervous, and anxious. Man, don't read the internet. Stay away from it. Madonna, stay away from the bottle. Okay, this is just insane. Now, this has been going on for weeks. Before you play yours, Karen, I'll play mine. Before you show me yours, I'll show you mine. Last week, she's down under in Australia. Madonna rode around on a tricycle dressed as a clown. I don't know what's going on, Madge. You're going crazy. I love you, but...
it's not Halloween.
Yeah. And at a second show there on Saturday, she seemed wasted. She rode around the tricycle again and then crashed it. She also took repeated drinks from a flask and a plastic bottle on the... I mean, there was a bottle on the... it was the fifth that was sitting right on the stage. She fell off the tricycle. You know, it was a little clown tricycle.
I mean, to be fair, you could do that being sober, being a full-grown person.
I know, but she had the flask, and, you know, this has been going on for weeks. And then she, you know, let's see if you can hear any of this silliness.
I do thank you for your patience.
By the way, she was 2 hours late. But that's the normal thing. So if you go to see Madonna, I think now you should expect her to be 2 hours late. That's just the way she rolls.
Over 20 years.
And then falls off. Please, somebody F me. What? Okay. And then there's this.
That is my son, who I mentioned earlier.
Rocco, yes.
He's actually 15. And it's true. There is no love stronger than a mother for her son. And if I talk about him too much, I might cry.
Okay, so stop talking about it, please. I have to tell you something. You know, so she's in this custody battle with Guy Ritchie. And guess what? The 15-year-old wants to stay with his dad. Can you blame him? Can you imagine being 15 years old and having mother crying on stage at every concert and then showing slides of you?
In front of everyone.
Yes, yeah. To everyone. This goes. It's not like it's a one-time thing. Madge, Alto, stop. Mother, make it stop.
I'm embarrassed for the kid.
No crap. I mean, you know the judge is going to sit them both down and say, Rocco, who do you want to be with, mom or dad? Dad. Done. Goodbye. Out. Peace out. All right, I got to take a break. Getting a bunch of tattoos is good for your health? Yeah, for real. And we'll continue with the Late Night Late Show wrap-up coming up on KGO 810. All right, we're back on the Drex Radio Show, live and local in the Bay and around the world at KGORadio.com. And I welcome Gary Dietrich to the airwaves. Gary, thank you very much for joining us.
Hey, my pleasure, Drex. And, you know, one more big, giant step for some towards or away from being POTUS.
Yes, and I'm afraid it's moving forward.
Well, certainly Marco Rubio's, you know, took a huge gigantic step for mankind back. He's out. John Kasich survived, and, you know, this is going to be the lead tomorrow in almost every story about tonight. Yes, Hillary won big. Yes, Donald won big, although we can get into the delegate count thing. Makes it not quite so much that way, Drex. But it's John Kasich's line, quote, in his victory speech in Ohio, "I will not take the low road to the highest office of the land," unquote. That is going to frame the debate going forward, no doubt. At least for the next few weeks.
Yes, and by the way, speaking of Kasich, you know, I hear a lot of talking heads saying if he did win tonight, he needed to make that bookended speech that you're talking about. That sounds very presidential, which may make him be the standby candidate if there is a brokered convention. Do you think he did that?
Oh, I think he did, Dress. And more to the point, I think even more immediately, you watch. The next 48 hours, you are going to see more media attention and more campaign cash go towards John Kasich than he's had so far in total. I mean, remember, he's waving his hands up there at the podium on some of these debates. Hey, I'm still here. Well, now he's relevant. Now he's one of three. And he is going to get an awful lot of attention as the de facto anti-Trump candidate. Yes, Cruz is going to stay in it. Yes, Cruz has many more delegates right now than Kasich does. But the guy who, how do I say this? The safe money is going to start drifting, and the attention is going to start drifting towards Ohio Governor John Kasich.
It's very interesting. And so, but Rubio did not, although he lost Florida, he did not bow out. He suspended his campaign. And I think you should explain to everybody because there is a big difference.
Well, yeah. And, you know, this has become sort of like the default term. Everybody suspends their campaign, and he's got three votes. And the bottom line is, you know, all these guys know where this thing is going. Everybody knows what's at stake. Can Kasich really, really, honestly pull down enough delegates to win on a first ballot in Cleveland in July? Probably not, Dex. But what the strategy, of course, now is denying that for Donald Trump, keeping him away from 1,237 delegates come that middle of July convention. And so, you know, watch out because, kids, I think we could well have our primary in June. Believe it or not, potentially count for something, either putting Donald over the top or keeping him from getting it come summertime.
So I hear the stat that Trump now needs to win 59% of all the delegates from here on out. Do you believe, Gary Dietrich, that that's obtainable?
Well, I certainly think it's obtainable, but so much of it is going to depend on where things go from here. I mean, this last weekend was not a good weekend for Donald Trump. The fact that, you know, he could not pull down Ohio, I mean, he was well ahead in Florida, but he could not pull down Ohio, which would have been, if he'd have done that, Drex, then I think our conversation clearly would be different right now. But I think the inevitability factor for Donald continues to get some chinks in the armor, and he's going to come under, now that the field has really narrowed, and Hillary tonight, even in her victory speech, she pivoted completely away from Bernie. I mean, watch, she's going to ignore him from here on out. It's going to be all about taking on Donald Trump. So he's going to be under a microscope like he's never been under in the next few weeks.
I think it's very, you know, one of the things that was very disturbing to see. And tell me what you think, Gary. Started out with the, you know, the sucker punch in North Carolina, and then to the fisticuffs that we saw on the floor in Chicago at ICU. And then, you know, the rally in the man rushing the stage in Dayton. It's very disturbing. And, you know, I couldn't help but feel this deep pit, you know, sick, sinking feeling in my stomach that all of a sudden this is turning racial.
Well, you know, it's hard to know. This is where things get a little different to divine in some ways. What do I mean by that? You know, you hearken back to, and we want to be careful here, but the last time we had, I think, this kind of turmoil in a primary process, of course, everybody points back to Chicago 68.
Yes, that's what I was thinking.
And I happen to know one of my professors in college, chair of the social department, happened to be one of the so-called Chicago 7. And, you know, so I know a little bit about this. And, you know, I think we're at a time, Drex, of national angst, turmoil, discontent, division, that harkens back in some ways to that level of discord. And so is it racial? Boy, I don't know how much of it's racial. How much of it is just people, you know, so ideologically split. So I don't want to use the word violently in a physical sense, but so ideologically violently split, if you know what I mean, Drex. And I think some of this foment, I wouldn't say this to be expected, but we are in, just call it troubled times, man. This is not placid waters, politically speaking, we're in right now.
Yes, I have to say, because, you know, we were talking about this earlier, and it got quite vitriolic, I must say, because I had Lisa Durden on the air, and she thinks it is running around and up and down the racial line, and the racial divide is on. And it really scares me because I think the majority of the Trump supporters want new blood. I, at the beginning of this entire process, I thought, okay, well, you know, I'm not really hitching my wagon to Hillary. I like Bernie, but I don't think he has a chance in hell nationally. So I'll listen to Trump. So I heard him out, but when I started, you know, it seems to me, in the last week or two, and it started really with the David Duke, when he didn't disavow immediately. He waited until that Southern vote was in. You know, something went off in my head, Gary, thinking, he's playing games because he's a master. You know, he's the art of the deal. So, and then the sucker punch and then the rushing of the stage. And I thought, you know, there's an element, I think, of his supporters. Again, not everybody. I know that everybody is anti-establishment, and that's why they support Trump, those who do. But there's an element that somehow that some of these white supremacists are hijacking his campaign.
Well, this is going to become, you know, the thing you don't want to see, Drex, is for this to become a racial war. You
know,
at least a war of words. This really, and I'm deeply, deeply sensitive to the people that have been offended by things that may have been said during this campaign, be they minorities, be they women, be they others. You know, I really hear those voices. But at a presidential race level, if it degrades into racial, you know, just name-calling and accusations, we won't have done our nation a service. We have got to try to keep this presidential race on very important issues that are going on around the globe and within our own nation. And certainly race is one of those. But we, you know, you hear what I'm saying here. I mean, I really hope this doesn't just become about that, because we won't have done our nation a service. Even those in minority communities who desperately need to have conversations about things like jobs, about education, and a whole host of other things.
Well, here is a Trump supporter yelling at a protester, Saturday in Cleveland.
Go to Auschwitz. Go to Auschwitz.
I got that on camera.
You know, and then let's face it, you see the news cycle. What played over and over all weekend long? It was the white guy in the hunting cap punching him and the black dude going fisticuffs, going at it on the floor in Chicago. And then the rushing of the stage. And, you know, and then that was allegedly an ISIS guy. And no, it wasn't. That was a hoax. But it's really scary. It's really scary when I think these guys are hitching, you know, their wagon to his.
Yeah, and I think, you know, you make a good point. The only thing a candidate can do, and I think we have to be careful about this. I don't care whether you're right, left, center, wherever you are. You know, the supporter is not the candidate. And you know, Donald Trump has millions of supporters. So far, these look isolated. However, it is very important whenever these things type of things happen, and you kind of alluded to this, Drex, for the campaign and the candidate and his surrogates to disavow anything like that immediately, speak out against it, say we'll not tolerate it. In fact, talk about throwing people out of our rallies. You do that stuff, you're going to be permanently banned from any of our rallies, not just the people who are protesting.
Oh, he doesn't say that. So on Sunday morning, he was on Meet the Press, and he was asked about it, and he says, well, what do I know about it? Oh, I know that it was on the internet. And it's like, what are you talking about? Are you saying the old cliche, well, if it's on the internet, it has to be true? Come on, you're running for president, man.
Yeah, you have to have your campaign people, your staff people have to be on this. You got to be sensitive to this for the reasons you pointed out, Drex, because if he's not careful, this is going to begin to dominate news cycles in negative ways. Donald loves to dominate news cycles, but you don't want that one.
Yeah.
Yeah, no. So I'm really hopeful. I truly am hopeful that we got past this set of really critical primaries today. Maybe Kasich, maybe other things, that we begin to move the news cycle forward with some really important issues that have got to be discussed in this race.
Yes, and not racial. I mean, you know, yeah, bring races together, not racial divide, for sure. Gary Dietrich, I thank you very much for joining us, as always, and let's continue to chat throughout this campaign. Who knows?
My pleasure.
Every day it's something new.
My pleasure, Greg.
Okay, have a good night. Don't worry, the world will make more, or excuse me, the Donald will. Have a good night. The John Bachelor Show is next on KGO 810.